It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's the Boomerang Geo Podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built for Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomerang Geo on the fans, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are in the free Odyssey app. Good Monday morning. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. This is the last day of March. We head into April, the best sports month there is. A frustrating weekend for the New York Mets and their offense. We do not expect that to continue, but it was tough to watch and frustrating to watch the all three of the games, but they did win one of the three, and now they get the Marlins and a weekend for the New York Yankees that was absolutely historic offensively. And yes, we got needle movers and we got torpedoes. That's what we got here on this Monday morning. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. I got to tell you, Friday, you said to me, he goes, man, March, this has got to be the best month. And I was thinking on Friday night.
Well, April's the best sports month, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, because this all falls in March. This past weekend all falls in March. And I mean, there was hockey games. There were NBA basketball games. There were college basketball games. And, of course, there were the opening weekends for the two baseball teams.
Yeah.
I mean, it was hard to keep up with everything.
And the UFL kicked off, by the way. So I know you were locked into that.
I think I saw three plays of the UFL because I was watching the Houston Open.
Oh, yes, the Texas Children's Houston Open.
Right.
Yes, which was actually interesting, believe
it
or not.
It was interesting, but yeah. I mean, there was so many things going on, and I don't even know where to start, to be honest with you.
It's got
to
be the torpedoes.
Right, so it's got to be the torpedo bats, and obviously analytics catches up to the Yankees in a good way, I guess, and has created quite the controversy and quite the stir throughout Major League Baseball. Now, here's the good news. Aaron Judge does not use a torpedo bat.
He does not.
He uses his real bat, and that's why Aaron Judge is the ultimate needle mover.
That's
for exactly sure. Right. Yeah. Obviously, we started something last week. But the guys, obviously, that use the torpedo bat is Goldschmidt, Bellinger, Wells, Volpe, and Jazz Chisholm. Now, the interesting one is Chisholm because he's got three home runs. He's got five hits, and he's batting .417.
Yeah, I mean,
Chisholm scores.
Yeah, Chisholm scores a lot over the past weekend. And remember when we were talking about the Anthony Volpe home run where Dave Sims was like, oh, he fisted that one out there. And it's like, oh, it really looked like he got it on that part of the bat. We didn't really know about the torpedo bats at that point. Mm-hmm. But that exact home run to right field where it caught what we thought was not the barrel caught
part of the barrel of the torpedo bat.
So I guess this is where analytics works, and this has a very Belichickian feel to it, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because, you know, each sport is so different because, you know in basketball, the basketball is always the basketball. The football, we went through this whole thing.
Well, they manipulate the hell out
right.
of football now.
We went through that whole thing with Tom Brady, so there's that. But there's very things that are so very specific. But then in baseball, it's like, hell, whatever goes. Like, we're going to change the baseball this year. We're going to change it back to something else. The Yankees bring this MIT professor's idea about changing the bat, and they approve it. They're like, okay, it's fine. And then you get a sport like golf where every single year the equipment changes. So it's like, I don't even... This, if Major League Baseball approved this and the Yankees were ahead of it, you can't be mad at it.
Yeah,
can't be mad at it.
I never read so much stuff about bats. I
right.
mean, you know, rules and who knew what the...
It's available to everybody,
by
the way.
It is. It is. And maybe everybody will want to go to it, especially with the way that the Brewers pitching staff was reacting.
Yeah. And McGill's brother... You know, basically said that, you know, it's the reason why, you know, it's the Yankees. So that's why they allowed this thing. If another team had gone, implying that if another team had gone to Major League Baseball about it, they would say no. But since it was the Yankees, Major League Baseball
All right,
approved
well,
that, it.
That's, I can understand being upset, but that's a ridiculous take.
Yeah, well,
that
yeah.
is a 100% ridiculous take. And the question will be, will other teams do this? And
well, the Braves apparently just put in their order, McMonagle told me on the overnight when I was listening. Braves put in their order.
And by the way, the Mets should be putting in their order,
I hope
too,
so.
Or something, maybe, because Jesus.
That's insane.
Yeah, so, like, here we go again. The offense is flat. The pitching was reasonable.
Yeah, which... we don't expect that. I expect the pitching to be reasonable throughout the entire year. I don't expect it to be great. I don't expect it to be terrible. I expect it to be reasonable, but obviously the offense has got to wake up. You know, we gave him a pass with the Framber Valdez game, but, you know, after that, it was pretty disappointing. And, you know, Francisco Lindor just gets off to these slow starts every time. He's going to have a great year in the end of it. We know that he will. He'll wake up when the weather gets a little bit warmer, even though they're playing down in Houston inside. But that's just something that he deals with, the team deals with. But yeah, it was frustrating. It was annoying, especially when you're watching the Yankees, you know, 20 spot, 12 spot, just doing what they were doing over the weekend in the cold weather in the Bronx. And the Mets are just, you know, scratching and clawing for a run here or run there.
I was just thinking about Dave Sims and having to go over and over and keep doing it.
Hey now!
Hey now!
Just hey now! He said more hey nows, I think, over this weekend than he did all of last year with the
Probably.
Mariners.
And I think Susan was telling him that.
Yeah. No, I did hear that clip. Yeah, yes. Basically, like, you're not going to know what to do with yourself over here. And I told Jerry about this, but this was one of the strangest things. Speaking of Dave Sims, as I'm scrolling through all the websites this morning, I go to TMZ Sports. Like, a TMZ reporter is interviewing Dave Sims in the street, and Jerry will have it next hour, interviewing Dave Sims in the street like he's like a legit like celebrity getting off a plane at LAX.
Well,
I'm like, what?
He's the voice of the Yankees.
Yeah, but all right, come on. We love Dave. We love the fact that he's getting some attention, all of that. But generally, when you see those things, it's like, oh, you know, we caught Morgan Wallen leaving SNL, and he's going to give you a quote about why he left the stage. Or not, we got Dave Sims outside of his apartment to go call Yankees Brewers.
By the way, why did Morgan Wallen leave the stage?
I don't know. We could talk about it later. I got a couple takes on it. I got a couple ideas.
There was no, did he give any statement or anything?
No, but he did post on Instagram his private jet saying, get me back to God's country right after that.
So couldn't wait to get the hell out of New York.
Yes, that's what I think was going on there. So
maybe there was a weather or alert
no,
or something. Maybe
no.
His pilot said, hey, man, we got to get the hell out of here.
There was no weather.
Coming.
No, I mean, we lived here over the weekend. There wasn't
well,
any...
not here could be where he was going.
Oh, okay, that's true, yeah. But whatever. I mean, he probably hated being here. But anyway, the point being, I was like, Dave Sims. I mean, is this what we got going on here, man? The Yankees are so hot right now that TMZ's finding Dave Sims in the streets of Manhattan to get his take on the team. It's wild.
I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better weekend. I mean, you really couldn't have. And everybody's talking about the loss of Juan Soto. What's the team going to do? And look, they got a million games left. There is a long way to go. It's just, it's a great start, and it makes you happy if you're a fan because it makes us frustrated.
Yeah.
Watching our supposed offense, you know, just basically go down in flames.
Yeah. You know, and I, well, All right, I mean, that is dramatic for the first three games. Are I know. Down and play. I mean, they struggled. There's no two ways about it. They struggled. Yes, it was frustrating. But, you know, I was thinking another thing about, like, the bat thing. Like you're not allowed to cork the bat, right?
Right.
Not allowed to, but you could make the barrel bigger on the bat.
Well, it's you're moving the barrel either up or down, depending on where you tend to hit the baseball. So we talk about the Mets pitching lab.
Yep, pitching
you
lab.
You really have to credit the front office geeks of the Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
Looking at every single hit that Volpe had to determine where he's hitting the ball and why he's hitting it there and how can we fix the bat to at least give him a chance. Now, he only had two hits during the weekend.
Yeah, no.
And both were home runs, of course.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like he was, you know, he came out of the weekend with 10 hits.
Yeah, but I mean, you could make the argument that those two home runs would have been, you know, pop flies to the outfield if he had the bats last year.
I mean, I guess if you're a Yankee fan, you got to be happy with Chisholm, you got to be happy with Bellinger, and you got to be happy with Goldschmidt. Because they got off the great start. Normally, you know.
Oh, and Aaron Judge, obviously, too.
I mean. Yeah, but he's here. You expect that. The other guys, you know, they brought him in here. They you know, and Chisholm was brought in there last year. But the fact that Goldschmidt and Bellinger got off to the start that they got off to, that is like, you know, if we ever have like a free agent for the Mets, a guy always goes into like a month-long slump when he gets here.
Yeah,
except for Cespedes.
Right, and that was a trade deadline situation, and he took the team to heights we never expected back in 2015. I know what you're saying. I mean the Yankees, as you said, they couldn't have been a better weekend, especially with all the chatter in the offseason. You're bringing in these old guys. You're trying to revive careers. You're trying to find the MVP and Cody Bellinger that hasn't been there in many years. Paul Goldschmidt's 100 years old. All of these narratives that had the Yankee fan annoyed in the offseason. I mean, they answered every one of those questions, and they answered them in a big way. So we'll see if this continues. We'll see if the bat thing is an issue, and if we start seeing every team using this and every team scoring 20 runs, and Major League Baseball is now all of a sudden you expect more of a 10-8 game than a 2-1 game. I mean, maybe this is the thing that brings us back to 1998. Maybe the torpedo bat is the new steroid. Have you ever think of that? That the game is going to completely change now because of this equipment, and now we're going to have, you know, people breaking home run records and chasing after everything again.
Again, but you can also manipulate the ball like we have seen.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you
can. So to take the juice out of the ball.
You definitely can. Major League Baseball's done that. And
I mean, it's like, you know, using a Balata golf ball. So a guy can't hit the ball 350 yards.
Right, basically, yeah. I mean, but this, you know what it reminded me of? And, you know, people roll their eyes because we're making this comparison. But the Volpe thing and finding out where you hit the ball in the bat, it's like a club fitting. It's really what it's like. That you hit this type of shot, so we're going to give you a club that helps you in this type of situation. And that's what this MIT professor did. He looked at all the data, and he said, this is the bat that's going to help you be more productive. Well, we don't see a lot of that in sports.
The other NARPs in the front office, you know, had to watch the tape. Like, and they had to determine where he was hitting the ball off the bat every single time he hit the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so this MIT professor, Lenny, as he's known in the clubhouse, who is now with Miami, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
You know, he was the guy that basically said, hey, we can do this. And we can move the barrel of the bat down a little bit so where it's hard wood.
It is hard wood, very hard.
And everybody wants that hard wood now.
Yes, and, you know, especially players who have been struggling, getting that hard wood in the place that they want to get it, it's now a little bit easier for them to achieve that. So, yes. And it's working, and it has worked, and everybody's going to start using it because that's the trends that happen. But I didn't see this coming at all. Did anybody even have any idea that this was happening?
When you think about where they manipulated the bat and how they built the bat, you obviously had to go to a manufacturer to sit there and say, we need this hard wood.
Move down. Yeah, can you move the wood down? I mean, look at here. This is Austin Wells, probably opening day, first home run. I mean, that thing looks like a toothpick in that particular picture.
It looks weird, especially when you compare it to Aaron Judge's normal bat, because he did not use the torpedo bat.
Yeah.
I mean, if he uses the torpedo bat, do you think that he hits it out of the stadium?
He may. I mean, it may just take the cover off the ball. He's probably thinking, listen, I hit enough home runs already. If I hit this torpedo bat, this thing, people are going to stop this. They're going to shut this thing down.
Now we know why the Yankees got rid of Nestor Cortez.
Yeah.
It was like batting practice.
Yeah, certainly. By the way, speaking of, you know, bats and home runs and everybody watching the home runs fly out of the Yankees, you know, Russell Wilson, new Giants quarterback, was watching the games. Did you see what he put out there?
I did not see what he was putting out there.
If this isn't so on brand, Russell Wilson.
You're going to be all over Russell Wilson. I can see that.
Wait, I'm not all over him. I'm just pointing something out that he posted. So he posts, so sweet, the great Bambino is smiling.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Isn't that so him?
Yeah,
just trying too hard and saying something so cheesy. And he doesn't even say Babe Ruth. Like, he's not even like, man, Babe Ruth would be proud. He goes, the great Bambino would be smiling, thinking that that somehow is going to hit home and endear him to the New York sports fan. He's just so out of touch.
But it made you so, he's such a cheese whiz. I don't know what to tell you.
The great Bambino. I mean, you couldn't go with the Yankee Clipper. Could you do something a little bit different than that? Oh, my God.
He was, Russell himself was a great baseball player.
Yeah, no, I understand. You know, he was drafted and the whole thing. And
you would think maybe he'd come up with something else. I don't know.
Yeah, but many Yankee fans were smiling throughout the weekend. They'll have the day off. Mets didn't play Sunday, which is bizarre. I couldn't tell you the last time that the Mets, once the season started, playing on Sunday. Well, because, the three games. And
they're playing in Houston, and they didn't have to worry about weather and any of that crap, so they give them a Sunday off.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where it's like, generally in that spot, then you start with a four-game series down there. But whatever, doesn't matter. As we head into April and a series against the Marlins, where they better wake up, they better score some runs, because, all right, one series against a good baseball team. But now you got the Marlins. You got to feast on them like you feasted on some of the bad teams at the end of last year when you figured some things out and make the fans feel a little bit better about this offense.
You know, it's interesting. The Yankees opening against three National League teams.
Yeah, they got the Diamondbacks and the Pirates after the Diamondbacks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Diamondbacks have a good staff, man. Who are they chucking out there?
Who are they chucking out there,
the D-backs?
Warren, obviously. Burns.
Oh, yeah, Corbin Burns. There you go.
Gallen.
Yeah, Zach Gallen. See?
Yep, and Kelly.
Yep. See, they got some arms over there.
They got arms.
They got arms there in Arizona.
Unfortunately, right now, Pittsburgh does not have Skeens in the mix versus the Yankees.
No, it's too bad. Yeah, so it's probably not going
to
happen.
I would have loved to have seen Skeens against these torpedo bats.
Skeens and the torpedo bats. All kidding aside, that's probably the most exciting matchup you can get right now. The way the Yankees are swinging with the torpedo bats and then Paul Skeens against them, it'd be pretty cool.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Yes. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco is here. He's got some baseball for us. He's got some college basketball for us. What's up, Jerry?
Well, good morning to you. How are you? Everything
good? You're doing
good?
Great, Jerry. Everything is wonderful. Good. I know you had your colonoscopy on Friday.
All good.
Eddie was playing all this these crap drops of yours.
Sure.
As that was going on, but all good.
I would expect nothing less.
You got Roto-Rooter.
I did.
Are you
did.
Okay?
Yeah, all good.
Everything's clear?
Everything was clear Friday.
Good.
So clear. Not too bad.
You had a good weekend,
yes.
You said.
We need volunteers. For what? Stick a camera up your ass.
I'm in. That is true. Yes, yeah. That was Friday. So, yeah, but all good. Good weekend, and here we are.
Nice.
Now, awesome. The Yankees are just mashing the ball all over the yard, as we know, and that did continue on Sunday as they completed the sweep of the Brewers.
Ripped down the right field line. It is in the stands for a home run, Jazz Chisholm. A low, screaming line drive off of his back. Third home run today. 5-1 lead, Yankees here in the third. Hey, now.
That was Dave Sims, right here on the Fan. Chisholm with a really good weekend and a good Sunday, 3-for-4, couple home runs, drove in 5. Yankees beat the Brewers 12-3, completed a weekend and a sweep where they hit 15 home runs and scored 36 runs. Here was Chisholm on the Yes Network. We are off to a great start. By the way, Aaron Judge, a 2-run homer. He's got 4.
I'm just locked in because I be working with Aaron Judge every day. You know what I'm saying? So, but we're having a lot of fun over here. You know, we're enjoying it, and we're going to keep on riding it out all year.
We shall see. A very good start for sure.
We're going to keep riding out all year.
You're going to ride it out.
Okay, we're going to see that.
He did say that their goal is to go 162-0, but he realizes that's an unrealistic expectation.
Yeah, the chances of that are minuscule.
Yeah.
As they say.
But that's his goal. That's what they want to do there.
In the play front. Today, win today.
Well, was, right. I mean, do you ever show up to the ballpark?
Mariana Duncan.
Thank you.
Do you ever show up to the ballpark thinking you want to lose or you're going to lose?
No, but you got to understand sometimes in baseball, you're going to lose.
It's a fickle game.
Certainly.
Here was Judge with Susan. Jazz has been amazing.
Oh, my goodness. Jazz has been swinging the bat all year in spring training, even now. You know, he kind of came in with a different attitude in the spring training that he was a man on a mission to go out there and do something special. So it's been fun to watch him this first series and excited to see him for the rest of the season.
Ben Rice also homered. Paul Goldschmidt had a few hits, an RBI single, couple of runs scored. Marcus Stroman didn't go 5, but did go the first 4 and whatever it was, 4 2/3. How do you wrap your head around this offense?
I don't think you do. You know, I just think it's just something. You see the potential of this group of guys. It's incredible, 1 through 9, even the guys on the bench. And when we're hot, when we're clicking, it shows you how truly special we can be all around.
Now, so part of this 3-0 start was Saturday, where they won 20-9, even though they had 5 errors in the game. They hit a million home runs, and they scored a whole bunch of runs. This was Pat Murphy on Saturday. It's funny. You want to be positive. Well, he really was when he sat down with the media. Again, 20-9, they just lost.
A lot of positives, guys. You might not see it. I see it. A lot of positives.
Walk us through some of them. I'm curious.
You're curious?
Yeah. Which positives do you see from that? Do you take away?
Now, I want to be clear. I'm stopping this after the second positive. He listed a whole bunch of them, but the second one to me was kind of funny.
Terang swinging the bat. Nice. Churio back on track a little bit.
least he didn't punch out in these five at-bats.
Oh, wow.
After Friday, where he went, or Thursday, when he went 0-for-5 with the five strikeouts.
Yeah, the platinum sombrero.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. And then he went on to talk about all the good things. Obviously, a lot with the bat, but I don't have any of that audio with McGill, who was all pissed off.
Somebody, is it Devers up at Boston? Is it like 10 strikeouts?
12.
12?
12. Yes.
Whew.
Correct.
And this
he's
is
D8 the, memory.
I, this is the argument about third base.
Yep. He wanted, he said he's a third baseman.
Right. And they said, now nah, we'll have a conversation with you. You'll be the DH.
Oh, right now.
And Bregman will be the third baseman. And he has now struck out 12
times. 12 times.
And
yes.
You think he's doing that on purpose? So he goes back out there and says, listen, I can't be a DH.
Told you, man. Funny.
You know what he needs?
Garrett Cole?
Torpedo bat? Torpedo bat.
You're going to say
I get
that.
It. Torpedo bat. How many times are we going to say that?
Torpedo bat.
Torpedo.
Torpedoes.
Yankees off tonight, home against the Diamondbacks tomorrow. The Mets were off. They started 1-2 over the weekend. They will be in Miami tonight. The Marlins had an interesting day. They put Jeff Conine into their Marlins Hall of Fame. I believe he was their first inductee. And then in the game, his son Griffin, who plays for Miami.
1-2. Conine lifts out to left field. Tommy Pham working back to the warning track. So is Sawinski. They look up and it's gone. Griffin Conine to left center. A shot the other way on the day his dad is inducted. And we're tied at 2 in the 7th.
That was kind of cool.
That is very cool.
That was kind of neat.
I mean, that is a special moment for the Conines.
I'm not sure who that is on the call. Sounds like Spiro Dietis to me. It's not, but it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean,
like
Spiro is doing Westwood 1 basketball.
I said, I know it's not. Yeah. I just said he sounds like Spiro Dietis, whoever
so
the
Marlins
announcer
leading
is.
East now.
Yeah, Braves they had a good weekend. Game. Yeah, the Marlins had a nice weekend. What'd they go? 3-1 in four games.
Braves are 0-4.
But yes, the Braves are 0-4. I was actually going to play it, but I won't. The Padres completed the sweep, a one-hitter last night as they won 5.
Put in their order for the torpedo bats.
That's exactly right.
They really did.
I believe it. Yeah. A lot of teams, I think, have. Yeah. Part of Rafael Devers and the strikeouts, Jacob DeGrom did throw 5 innings, and the Rangers went over the Red Sox, and the Blue Jays beat the Orioles. Max Scherzer. 15-day IL.
No,
because of a
strain.
Well, no. He's got a latch strain, but he was put on the injured list, I believe, because of a thumb injury.
So he's got he has a latch strain and a thumb injury.
He does. He's got both.
Yeah, but how long is a latch? Don't these latch strains last like 2 months?
I don't know.
3 months?
I just know you don't want the lat or the oblique injury.
Man, this guy, he's
how
made
old
so
is he now? 42?
Money.
He might be.
He's 42 years old.
He's
now?
40 plus. We do know that.
Good for him, but man, he's made a ton of dough.
I will have for you the Dave Sims TMZ audio next hour. I just recorded that. So we'll get you that coming up next. NBA wise, the Knicks took on the Blazers and had a big fourth quarter and a New York win.
Thibault knocks it loose. Thibault, another great defender. Bad pass. Stolen by Hart, throws it to Bridges, one man to beat, throws it back out, Shamet, three-pointer, it's good!
It was, and the Knicks beat the Blazers 110-93. That put him ahead by 2. Mikal Bridges, you heard him in that clip, and OG Anunoby, 28 points apiece for the win. Here was Anunoby on MSG really hitting a stride.
Just being aggressive, trusting my work, and then my teammates trusting me, finding me when I'm open, and then me just shooting with confidence.
And then you've got Bridges, who was on target last night as well.
To trust my work and my teammates, you know, I think, you know, just, you know, let me play, get, you know, get me involved and try and make the right read. That's pretty much it. Just all credit to my teammates.
Pretty good right there. Yeah, I can't hear you, Jerry.
23 of 38 for the two combined.
Yeah, it was great. They had a great game, and it was Clyde's 80th birthday celebration. So one of my childhood heroes. It was great to see him.
Looks the same.
He looks great. Yeah, he does look great. And then, of course, you know, you got Breen putting on the jacket and really taking it to another level because, you know, Breen's so stiff.
Breen's not as stiff.
Oh, he's stiff. He's so stiff. You know that, and I know that. But he put that jacket on, something happened to him. He like started, he had a glow.
Wow. Okay.
I like Breen.
He wasn't stiff when, who retired? UB Brown. Right? He was very emotional during that ABC broadcast.
Dramatic.
But the,
he's very dramatic.
I think it is dramatic. The guy's 90 years old and that chapter of his life closed and he was very emotional.
I know somebody who was happy about that.
Who's that? Stan Van Gundy?
Al Dukes.
Oh, because he's old and he wants him to retire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got it. Well, he did. He is gone. Tonight you've got the Nets in Dallas on the Fan at 8:20. I'll play. So this is like 45 seconds. You can stop it when you want, but I didn't have time to edit it. This was the, I guess, melee, you would call it.
Yeah.
Pistons, T-Wolves. This is Minnesota radio.
This one's gotten testy. It's got physical. Here's Holland to drive. Baseline runs it up over Nas and hits it. He comes up swinging his arms, wondering where the foul was. 39-29. Pistons back up by 10. Nas fakes the handoff, keeps it himself, drives. He got fouled. Holland picks it up. And now Nas and Holland going at it. Dante steps in, and now both teams have to be separated here. Dante takes Holland right out of play. It's a pileup under the basket. It's gotten more than heated. And they are still going at it.
There you go. And Dante DiVincenzo right in the middle of it.
Of course he is. I mean, and I do miss that guy. I know you don't want to see this stuff all the time, but the fact that it happens in a regular season NBA game where 90% of them, the players, don't have that type of passion in it to go fight one another, I don't mind seeing it occasionally. And, of course, Dante DiVincenzo was the big agitator.
Yeah, and by just the way, this is why these front row seats cost so much money. You get involved in something like this, you got a whole pile of sweaty players on top of it.
Right, what an experience.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't smell good.
No.
That's for sure. From college basketball, Houston and Auburn did advance to the Final Four. So you got all four number ones. Houston beat Tennessee 69-50. This was Jemai Mashak. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that or not right. From Tennessee. Just simply feels bad for his coach, Rick Barnes. I thought that was kind of nice.
I wanted to get there for him, you know? I really wanted people to realize how good of a coach he is. You know, sometimes communication can be off sometimes, you know, between him and the players, and, you know, that happens. But, man, I wanted to get there for him.
Is that Jim Nance right in the middle of everything?
It was.
Come on.
Jim Nance, well, that's where he went to school.
I know it is, but he's still, I mean.
Look at him, there he is.
Nance and Sampson.
Wait, does he call the fight? He's still
calling. No.
The Lion doesn't know. That's what I said, he's just a fan now.
All right, yeah.
Although he's got his media credentials.
I was going to say, I thought he might still do the championship game.
No, I am.
No, he doesn't do anything.
I don't believe so. Okay. I haven't seen him all tournament.
All right. No, I know. I thought maybe he parachuted in for the championship game.
No. That is Ian's deal now.
That would be a thing Jim Nance would do, though. He'd parachute right in for that game. Crown the national championship, hand the tie to a player.
He's a Houston grad, right?
Yeah.
It's just funny seeing him.
I think Freddie Couples was his roommate.
Really?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
How about that? Auburn beat Michigan State to advance 70-64. Here was Tom Izzo. Feels like, I know they lost, but feels like he has had kids that not necessarily into NIL, but for the right reason.
There's still people out there that care about winning and care about getting better and care about playing for the school they're at and care about playing with the players they're with. In this day and age when it's getting a little more selfish, that is rewarding. That is exciting. That is invigorating.
But they are done after a very good season. And Kevin Willard did go to Villanova, as you predicted he would and thought he would. Yeah. So that has happened. The final.
The University of Maryland, just like the former AD did. Everybody just ran right through there.
Yeah, but I thought he wasn't talking to anybody. He said he wasn't talking to anybody.
No, his agent was going for about 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah, now, I do know, and not to get too personal with the whole thing, but. You know, I as I understand it, you know, I don't think his wife was all that happy in the Maryland area. I think she's a Philly girl or a New Jersey. I think she's from New Jersey.
Okay.
So, and they're more Northeast people is what I'm being told, and this was too good of an opportunity to pass up, especially given the lack of athletic leadership at the University of Maryland right now. Because remember, the AD left right before the start of this whole thing to SMU. So there are reasons why he did what he did. I can't sit here and say that I agree with everything, but it seems like everybody in the college world right now, especially in basketball and football, is leaving to go get theirs, like an R.J. Lewis. I'm going to the transfer portal, but I may be going through the NBA. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it happens. So everybody's getting theirs, so why shouldn't he get his? If this is what he and his family want, then go get it, because everybody else seems to be doing it.
As we continue on, this report brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We heard from Darren Mooji at the owner meetings.
Has hands flying around again. I don't know if you saw this, Boomer.
I did not
see
this.
Had the hands going again.
He did?
Yeah, he does. He really, and it's like real, like, boardroom type CEO hands. He's just
boardroom CEO.
You know, like we're here, and then we're over here, and then we put these together. And what we're doing is here. We're lifting up when we're going down, and it's just like it's just very corporate.
Okay,
it's just very corporate.
But hell. Buttoned up.
Here he is talking about Justin Fields and the talent.
I do believe that. And we believe Justin is the starter. We believe in Justin. We believe we can win with Justin. So we're excited about Justin's potential.
Would you not draft a quarterback now?
We'll evaluate. Just like any position, we're going to evaluate the quarterbacks, the entire class, right? And that's the same right. For every position. It doesn't change our approach. We'll have those meetings and evaluate every quarterback in the draft.
Sounds like every other GM that's been here.
Yeah, but I mean,
I'm sure he's smart.
I'm not totally sure.
Buttoned up.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure he's not AI at this point. Like, I'm not, like, all the stuff that's going on with the robots and the AI, I'm not sure that he may be programmed.
Did you see the Suzanne Summers one with her ex-husband?
No.
With her husband who survives her? There's a Suzanne Summers robot that he's got.
What?
Yeah.
And she's dead, right?
Yeah.
And he got a robot of her?
Am I telling that right, Al?
Correct. Yep. It can talk to him.
And looks like her?
It looks like a younger version of her, I would say, from the images that are out there.
That is sick. I'm sorry. That is sick.
Yeah, I don't know. When Al and I did it on the podcast last week, I'm not sure if we thought it was sick or cool.
You know who she looks like? If this is the right picture. She looks like the new AG Pam Bondi.
Okay.
That's what she looks like.
Oh yeah, it's odd, right? Wow. Large-breasted robot.
Yeah, it doesn't. Okay. No, it really doesn't look like. I don't know.
I
don't
like think I said, it would have to be a young version of her. But when I think of Chrissy on Three's Company, that doesn't look like her either to me.
Now, is he like? Does he have an intimate relationship
making love to a robot?
I mean, that doesn't
don't
look like her.
I no, don't know. I do mean, not know.
It looks like an attractive young blonde woman, but
I don't think it's a robot you can make love to. Well, from what I was told.
By who? By who? Right. I was told.
I mean, I'm sure. I mean, you can do whatever
you talking
want
to Gronk again?
Right.
What? Did you really? Did you Gronk that?
No, but nowhere in the articles, I read multiple articles, did it say it was a sex robot. This is more of a like an AI-type intelligent robot.
Got it.
But I mean, if you wanted to do something to it, I'm sure you
I mean,
could.
People have sex with blow-up dolls. Like, why would you not have sex with a robot that looks like a human?
That's a great question. Would I have sex with a robot? That would probably.
I think I might too. I got to be honest with you. I'm not going to run from this. If you're telling me, like, I was,
future.
If I was alone and like had nothing going on, and I'm an old man like this guy was, and this young robot showed up at my doorstep, you think I'm not going to give it a whirl?
And it looked like Dua Lipa.
Well, yeah, I mean, if I'm an old guy like that, I'm a single guy. Maybe, you know, I'm just looking for something.
I've got a robot here that looks exactly like your sister.
Oh, well, I don't have a sister. But
well, you have a naked sister-in-law.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, yeah. No,
could you imagine the shame when you have to then put the robot away?
Oh, yeah.
And clean it?
Right. That's that post-nut clarity that's talked about.
Oh, boy.
I mean, how embarrassing.
Probably goes away after a while, though.
Yeah, just like, oh, God, what, you sicko. You put the robot, you clean it off. God.
Oh, boy. The Hurricanes beat the Islanders 6-4.
Male sex robot.
And Minwoo Lee won the Texas Children's Houston Open, beat Scottie Scheffler and Gary Woodland by a shot.
Yeah, I mean, nobody there in Houston wanted Minwoo Lee to win because Gary Woodland had the brain tumor surgery and Scottie's from Texas and Scottie Scheffler, but he finished it off.
He did.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. What do you think about the Yankees and Mets over the weekend? The torpedo bats, all of that. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. We'll get your calls in. You did mention that Morgan Wallen thing in the open. So this was basically a much ado about nothing type of deal, as people were really trying to crush him for this, which I don't understand. So if you didn't see it, and if you've seen SNL in the past, generally what happens at the very end of the show, not generally, basically every single time, you got the musical guest, the host, and the cast that are on the stage, and the band is playing that same song.
And they're hugging each other. Thank you. Everybody stays. And then it goes to whatever the commercial is or the newscast that goes next. And you never see anybody like walk off. So Morgan Wallen's the first one who they're like, all right, thanks to Morgan Wallen. He's like, yeah. And he gives her like a little bit of a hug. And then he doesn't like walk off like through the back. He just steps off the stage and just boom, right out in front of the camera. So, I mean, it was odd to see. And then also you had Kenan Thompson, another cast member that were like pointing, and then you saw their faces like they were laughing as he was going off the stage, which made me think that something had happened during the week that really pissed him off.
Yes.
Now, of course, everybody wants to put politics into everything, and now it's like, oh, well, it's because the SNL cast was too woke, and Morgan Wallen's not a woke guy, and me. I don't know if it had anything to do with that. I don't know if it had anything to do with the fact that maybe he just hates New York City, which is a possibility for a guy from Tennessee who's stuck in the city for a little bit and had a bad experience. Like, I don't know.
I think you're right on it. I think something happened during the week and probably got sick and tired of seeing whatever he was watching or seeing or being a part of and didn't feel very comfortable about it. Did his show, said goodnight, and left.
Yeah, well, that was it. And, you know, and he does put the thing out there with the private jet saying, get me back to God's country, which implies the fact that he did not have a great experience in New York. I mean, and he's someone that he is, and trust me, I know how popular he is, so it's like it's almost one of those things where you got to, like, make sure that you preface what you're going to say about him before. He is the most popular and the biggest country music star out there. I think he's got the best voice out there, and he is awesome, and I love his music. But, hey, a little bit of a jerk. A little bit of a jerk.
That's all right.
And that's fine. And he is, like, but something like that isn't really uncommon for him. You know what I'm saying? So, like, when
it's probably right or wrong, it's his brand. It's
yeah,
who he is.
Yeah. Right. I mean, throwing the chair off the balcony, the whole
he's
thing.
He's the Bobby Knight of, you know, of country western singer, country music singer.
Maybe. But anyway, but personally, I got a kick out of the fact that people were like, this was such a huge statement by Morgan Wallen.
All right. So, who are the people who are complaining?
Well,
not his fans.
No, not his fans. It's
of course not.
It became a political thing, is what
yes,
it became.
Exactly.
You know, and I don't know if that was the case. I don't know if something happened had nothing to do with politics, and maybe someone just said. This is why I think something happened, though. It wasn't the face that Kenan Thompson made was not like surprised that he was leaving. Or like, you know, he was more like laughing, like, look at this idiot. Like, here he goes, you know, and like, that's, I mean, I told you he hated this. But yeah, so he hugs the star of that movie that won.
And he was very nice to her.
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
he hugged her. Like, yeah. But yeah, I get it. He's got a little bit of an edge to him.
Yeah, no, he does, which makes him even more popular, you know. But the, you know, the Morgan Wallen fans will. It's not to the level of Taylor Swift, but you know, you get all the people that are trying to crush him, and then you get the Morgan Wallen fans coming out. And it's just been like this ever since Saturday night. You know, what's funny is I didn't even see. I want to go back and watch it because I do like him. But I didn't even see any of his performances. I just saw this and the reaction to it is wild.
No, I think the performances went well. There also, you know, the other thing too, there also could have been something within the performance itself that he didn't like. Whether it be the sound or it could be something like that happened while he was up there. Maybe he felt disrespected by it.
Yeah.
You'll never know.
Absolutely. But it was a funny visual of. we've all seen, thousands of SNLs and then the ending and everything. You've never seen anything quite like that. And having gone last year, I can't believe that's going to be like a year now. It was early May last year when I went. Like, when you watch SNL on TV and then you're there, you are shocked at how small that studio is. Now, people say that here when they come in to see us, like, I can't believe your studio is so small, but that stage that is there that they're all on, like, and I got I was nice enough, so the head of security there was a fan of ours, and he said, hey, come down and we'll get a picture of you and Gina on the stage, which is awesome, and it's something that we cherish because it's such a special place. But I'm standing on that stage, I'm like, oh my god, I thought this stage was like 50 times bigger than it is.
Yeah, you think you go in the Radio City Music Hall, and you're really, it's the same thing with the David Letterman when he used to be down here.
Yeah, right, absolutely. Let's go to Dave in Wyckoff. What's going on, Dave?
What's up, guys?
Good morning.
I want to talk. Morning. Baseball is killing me with these bats now. I mean, the Yankees were complaining about the Astros cheating with the whole trash can thing. And now they got these bats that are aerodynamically changed to overcome the weakness of a hitter. Right? You guys ever watch that movie, Revenge of the Nerds?
Yes, a long time ago, but if you make a reference to it, I may not get it.
Well, Matt, you know, Dave, I actually kind of work with those people, so I live it every day.
All right. Remember the kid Wormser designed the javelin for the guy Lamar to fit his limp-wristed throwing style? You remember what I'm talking about?
No, but I can get the reference, the reference hits.
Yes.
Right, so now they're designing these bats to overcome the weakness of a hitter, and this is why people don't take baseball seriously. They're always coming up with some kind of scam.
Well, yeah. I gotta say that Major League Baseball said that the bats are illegal.
You cannot make...
And by the way, the Yankees wouldn't have done this had they not ran it by Major League Baseball.
Right.
They're not gonna change a bat physically and just like go out there and play with it and then have the bats take it away.
Right.
That would be ridiculous. And by the way, Aaron Judge still uses his own bat.
Right, so more on this, more of your calls. We will take a quick break.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.